so giddy to tell you about my absolute favorite iPhone game of late. It's called June's Journey. If you like mystery games that are really easy to play and very aesthetic to look at, then you have got to check this one out. June's Journey is basically a hidden object mystery game where you're solving this detective story centering on a protagonist named June who's living in the 1920s, so very glamorous. She has to travel back to her family's island estate to solve the mystery of who murdered her sister. And my favorite part of the game is that as you find these different clues and help solve the crime, you get to decorate the island estate with various pieces of furniture and other accoutrements. It is so relaxing to play when you kind of just need to switch off your brain. And I'm pretty bad at iPhone games and video games in general, and I can still enjoy it. So I really think you'll love it. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Issa, here are two truths and a lie. Essential Oils Cult Edition.
Interesting. Let's get into it. What are they?
Okay, number one.
The Essential Oils brand Jade Bloom swears its Angelica root oil can relieve anxiety, clean infections, fight viruses, assist with respiratory ailments, help with indigestion, regulate menstruation, and aid sleep.
I can do all of that?
Number two.
The Essential Oils MLM doTERRA recommends ingesting cinnamon oil, aka cassia, to support healthy cardiovascular, metabolic, and immune function.
Okay, what's the last one?
And the third one.
The Essential Oils MLM Young Living claims its thieves oil is connected to an elaborate backstory involving the Spanish flu, then claims that the product can provide healing to the body and mind with its de-stressing properties.
I
don't know why I have to do that voice when I read this marketing language.
I don't believe the cinnamon thing because it reminds me of the cinnamon challenge. And I'm like, I think the cinnamon challenge was like really unhealthy to kids. They almost went to the hospital.
We're really dating ourselves. That was like, a 10-year-old YouTube challenge at this point?
What? No, I'm 15.
The answer is number three is a lie. Young Living's thieves oil backstory is about how it was used during the Black Plague, and the claims are that it offers immune system support and is cleansing to the digestive system.
What? How is their claim to fame that it was like used during the Black Plague? Didn't like so many people die during the Black Plague? Like I feel like it didn't work. It didn't.
Terrible marketing.
Terrible
Half
marketing.
The world population died.
Yeah. And then like, I mean, I think once something like garners the name plague instead of like pandemic, it's like you've gone to the other side.
Indeed.
You indeed. You failed.
Yeah, plague is biblical at that point.
Yeah.
I also think it's just remarkable that any of these claims, the regulate menstruation, immune support, are made despite the FDA's rules preventing companies from making unsubstantiated promises about essential oils.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, these companies are pros in just like ignoring the rules.
You're completely right. I mean, that is their MO. It's like, fuck the man, fuck the government, fuck the healthcare system, fuck the FDA. I'm gonna say whatever the fuck I want.
This is Sounds Like a Cult, a show about the modern day cults we all follow.
I'm Amanda Montell, author of the book Cultish, The Language of Fanaticism.
I'm Issa Medina, and I'm a comedian.
Every week on our show, we discuss a different fanatical fringe group from the zeitgeist, from astrology to Tony Robbins, to try and answer the big question.
This group sounds like a cult, but is it really? To join our cult, follow us on Instagram at Sounds Like a Cult Pod.
I'm on IG at Amanda_Montell.
And I'm on Instagram at Issa Medina, IssaMedinaA. We also have our episodes up on YouTube if you haven't already checked it out. It comes with full video. I'm talking to the camera right now.
And if you want to support us even more, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/soundslikeacult.
Now, we already got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about the cult of essential oils today.
Oh, yes. Issa, do you use essential oils?
I don't use essential oils often, but like the only time I ever really enjoy using them is when I go to like a yoga class, and in Shavasana, they like put a little bit on your arm and I'm like, that smells good, because I just like sweat a fuck ton and I'm like, wow, a little something something.
To make you smell a little
better. Yeah, that's the only time I ever use them.
But you've never bought them.
No, I have. Oops. I have bought them again, it's like when I was in Venice and I was at like a little trinket shop and 100%. Like I bought one of those little roller ones.
That's literally the only context in which I bought essential oils.
Yeah,
too.
And it was only because I was like, oh, maybe if I do yoga at home, I'll put it on my own wrist.
I mean, in Los Angeles and elsewhere, essential oils are everywhere. You cannot walk into a farmer's market or a coffee shop without being assaulted by essential oil merchandise.
Yeah, as you know, I just moved to Silver Lake. I can't even walk down the street.
Exactly. I have like a little lavender roly-poly that I'll put on.
Yeah,
my
lavender is the one.
Pulse points or whatever. I don't take it seriously. This is something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, ever since I posted this one meme on Instagram.
Yeah, Amanda and her Venn diagrams.
Yes,
it's honestly kind of like, it's a skill to make a Venn diagram.
It's like a logic puzzle. I consider myself a Venn diagram hobbyist.
The last time I tried to make a Venn diagram was when a lesbian woman told me that I couldn't call myself gay because I'm just bisexual. And I'm like, yeah, but if you make it into a Venn diagram, like bi women are gay, gay women are
also gay.
Also gay.
I have in recent years heard the term gay just mean sapphic, queer.
Yeah.
With regard to women.
Yeah. And if you look up the definition of lesbian, it literally is a gay woman. Mm-hmm. So like, I also sometimes say I'm a lesbian. People are like, but you're not, you're bisexual. But I'm like, but if I was like dating a woman,
you would be in a what, quote unquote, lesbian relationship.
Yeah. The cults of labels literally stress me out to no end. Ugh, as a queer person, that's why I love the word queer. That's why I just say queer.
There was one cult of essential oils Venn diagram I made where the cult of essential oils was in the middle. And in the three main circles were doomsday preppers, MLM salespeople, and goop readers. Where doomsday preppers and goop readers converged were anti-vaxxers, where doomsday preppers and MLM salespeople converged were rural Mormons, and where goop readers and multi-level marketing salespeople converged was what I termed boho Karens.
Which are the kind of people who use essential oil.
They all do.
Yeah.
They all do. That's the thing, is that essential oils, despite being these seemingly harmless little droplets of smell-good vibes.
Literally so small, but... oh, they have such a big effect on people's lives.
They do. They have come to play a near spiritual role in the lives of all these different people who fall on all different points along the political spectrum and have somehow found themselves at the center of so many different fanatical fringe groups.
It is obviously culty enough for us to be talking about, but I think the interesting part about essential oils is that it has so many layers.
You know, when I sit down to draw these connections, I don't necessarily know where I'm going when I set out. I'm just
a true noticing.
I'm like Salvador Dali over here. No, I'm just like noticing cultish patterns throughout culture, and I'm trying to find the center. I'm trying to find the convergence of them all. And if you look at truly the most cultish corners of our society at the moment, the center point is motherfucking essential oils.
Yeah. I completely agree. But I do think a caveat is to say that it's very much specific to American culture, too.
Mm.
Like in terms of like the cultiest like centerpiece, like essential oils are talked about, as we'll discuss, in other countries, too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they originally come from like Persia in the Middle East.
But of course, Americans made them cultier than ever.
We can't help it. Yeah, I mean, the emergence of essential oils as this cult centerpiece has very much to do with all of the trust that we've lost in the institutions that are supposed to provide us with support. It's like the doomsday preppers are into essential oils because they don't trust the government.
Mm.
The new agers are into essential oils because they don't trust the healthcare system, and that overlaps with anti-vaxxers and the like. The MLM salespeople are into essential oils because they don't trust the bureaucratic corporate labor market. And so it is this defection away from institutional support that has just like opened the door for essential oils to be like, I will save you.
Yeah. And I just find it so ironic that it's like people are stepping away from institutional support, but they're stepping into a very structured, rigid other type of support, which is like a cult leader's support. But they are like, it's anti.
It's alternative.
Yeah, so I'm different.
Yeah, truly. I mean, have you seen that meme? This was circulating a few years ago. It was like a picture of a Cheeto like stuck in a lock as if it was like trying to keep the door closed and trying to keep the people behind it protected. And it was like saying that Cheeto was essential oils trying to and then the
we are not in the same meme spaces.
Not at all. But then like everyone outside of the door was like, pandemics, fucking like all these dangerous things,
and pandemic, it's like, war, like sure. Climate change,
exactly. And the essential oils are the Cheeto in the lock being like, don't worry, I got it, guys.
Yeah. And if you still can't get a great picture of what this meme looks like, go on YouTube. We have it on there, or go to our Instagrams.
We're going to dive a little deeper into essential oils in a bit, all the different layers, as you were mentioning, the casual use of them, the promises that are made falsely by many corners of culture,
and of course, the MLM aspect of essential oils, because that's where it gets culty.
Oh yes, you may have heard of brands like Young Living, doTERRA, and we're about to talk to a very special guest who wrote a fascinating culture piece about Young Living in particular, and it's going to expose some darker corners of the cult of essential oils.
So up next, we're going to talk to Stephanie McNeil. She is a senior culture reporter for BuzzFeed News and is based in New York.
If you like the subjects that we talk about on our podcast, you will love her articles because she literally covers Peloton, The Bachelor, the cult of the early 2000s. Her articles are just chef's kiss. Could you first just tell our listeners about yourself and your work and how you developed an interest in critiquing essential oils?
My name is Stephanie McNeil. I'm a senior culture writer for BuzzFeed News, and essential oils just kind of came to me. I am really interested in online communities and especially how groupthink can develop in online worlds. I couldn't stop watching all of these videos and reading all this content from women who were convinced that essential oils were so much better than any mainstream medicine. And I just fell into it. They got me.
You got me there.
As they get us all. Fixation with cults either is like earnest or anthropological. And I'm interested in when it like teeters on that line. It's like, am I just rubbernecking or am I fully in the cult?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's so interesting. You start just digging in because you want to learn about it. And sometimes that's how people get swept into them.
I'm the type of person where I totally believe in mainstream medicine, but I like a vitamin. I like a supplement. Like I like to try everything. Like I love taking NyQuil, but I also like taking an herbal supplement, you know? But I feel like the more that I've been exposed to the essential oils community, it actually makes me not like that stuff more and become more anti. Like I feel like if someone had told me 5 years ago, like, hey, you know, you're stressed, why don't you put some essential oils on your wrists? I would be like, okay, sure, yeah, whatever. But now I am like, absolutely not. I would not do that just because I hate like the arrogance that comes out.
Yeah, totally. That's the problem with extremism, is that it just breeds more extremism on both ends.
So you wrote an article the other month that like literally so many people DM'd us about your article on some drama involving Young Living essential oils and the resurgence of the satanic panic. Can you briefly summarize this insane story?
Young Living is an essential oils company that is one of the two main essential oils companies in the U.S. It's has a lot of religious origins. The founder was a member of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he started this essential oils company because he really believes in the power of oils. It has really taken off over the past 5 years or so, even though it's a company that's been around for decades in the MLM community, with women signing up and people, you know, really espousing these ideals online. And one thing that happened as a result of that is people who were really big in essential oils and in Young Living ended up becoming essentially MLM influencers on Instagram, and we get hundreds of thousands of followers talking about their lives in essential oils. So it was like they were able to take their influence in this company and their belief in essential oils and all of the people who worked under them in Young Living and create this influencer platform where they were espousing these ideals about essential oils to hundreds of thousands of people. Something interesting that happened last year was, it was probably about 6 or 7 months ago now, a couple of like top tier, I think they're called Royal Crown Diamond sellers in Young Living who are making reportedly over $1 million a year, decided abruptly to leave the company. And they gave really no explanation. Probably the most popular one that people might have heard of, her name is Madison Vining, and she is essentially a lifestyle influencer who also is a big Young Living seller. And she and a couple of people who were these top sellers came out and they basically said, we can't tell you why, we're not going to get into it, but we're leaving our former company and we have decided to go to this other company called Modere, where that offers a similar product on essential oils, but they're really big into putting collagen powder and all of that kind of stuff. And people were really confused about it because they were like, why would you walk away from this company where you have thousands of people under you? You're making $1 million a year. And you, I mean, it's not like a normal business. You can't take that with you. And so they just left, leaving all this money on the table. And everyone was very vague about it. They didn't really say why. It seemed like there might be some sort of restrictions on what they could say just because they were so incredibly vague about it. And it kind of died off and was silent for a while until people started coming out and saying that the reason they decided to leave the company was because they felt the company had fallen under some sort of demonic influence. And they are all very strong Christians, and they felt like something had changed, the vibes had changed in the company, and over time they had realized that this was a demonic force. I don't know how familiar you guys are with evangelical Christianity.
I'm very familiar. Amanda is.
I'm more familiar than I perhaps should be, but I'm fascinated by it. I mean, my all-time favorite film is Jesus Camp.
Yes. So, I mean, this is the kind of faith that they ascribe to. And, you know, I am not an evangelical Christian, but I have some familiarity with it. I knew people growing up with it. And to an outside observer, saying this company has demonic influence sounds a little out there. But yeah, in the context of evangelical Christianity, it's something that actually people kind of say all the time. There is a sense in Christianity that your life is a constant push and pull between Satan and his demonic forces and Jesus and his good forces. A lot of people who have this brand of Christianity are kind of primed to see demonic forces in some aspects of everyday life.
Basically, pleasure of any kind is automatically a demonic force.
Preach.
What kicked it off for these women was they were sent a book. This is not through Young Living per se, but Young Living has a seller who is top tier, who's been there for a long time, who co-authored a book. It's a book about how you can use essential oils to self-actualize or to make your life better. When I first saw this story going around, I put in an order for the book. It was $80, which is a lot for a book.
That's so expensive. Hardcover at least? No, I'm just kidding.
It's like the cost of an academic textbook.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. My boss gave me blessing to order this book. And so I ordered the book. I got a shipping notification. And then like 5 days later, I got an email saying my order had been canceled and I had been refunded.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, so I was never able to actually read the book, unfortunately. But from what I have seen on the internet and from what people have told me, it's a lot of, you know, putting oils on yourself and tapping into your higher power.
Oh, I have friends in Venice who would just like eat that up. That's the thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the religion of the self. That's what wellness is. It's the religion of the self.
Women like Madison Vining and Melissa Truitt, this book to them felt demonic because of its focus on the self and self-actualization versus, you know, putting your trust in God and relying on God to do things for you and all of that stuff. And Melissa said that she was spooked even having the book in her house. She felt like it was demonic forces in her house. And what they did was they went on Instagram, and they essentially said, you know, if you're a Christian and you believe in God and you're allowing Young Living to bring this kind of material into your home, you're going against God. Mm-hmm. And so kind of an underhand way of saying you should leave this company. Now, I want to caveat and say I actually spoke to Young Living and they said that they weren't involved in sending out this book at all. This was a woman who wrote the book, who had the mailing addresses of all of these other women in Young Living and sent it to them unprompted. But the CEO of Young Living did write the foreword for the book. So there you go. It's hard to know, you know, is this something that they truly believe, or, you know, they clearly had issues with the company?
That's what I was going to say, because like a lot of times with these cults, you trace the paper trail and like a lot of it leads back to money. And so it's really hard for me to believe that they would leave so much money on the table because of demonic forces. Like, how much does it cost to just get someone to get those forces out?
How much is an exorcism in this economy? Yeah, you know,
in this with inflation, maybe just too expensive.
That's absolutely true. And I think that is probably like the more grounded and more cynical perspective. But I will say, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but sort of holistic New Age ideology and evangelical Christian ideology, it's kind of one and the same. I mean, being born in trauma, that's the same message as being born in sin. The idea of a rapture or the second coming of Christ is very similar to the idea of a paradigm shift or a great awakening. Both communities have the same good-evil binaries, so there's a reason why like New Agers often turn evangelical and evangelicals often go New Age, because the messaging feels so familiar.
Yeah, but it makes sense that you were saying that they were scared that like the ultimate messaging from the book was that it was like self-actualization instead of like a God's actualization, because I feel like when you do self-actualization, you could go down these rabbit holes that lead to sexual identity awakening, like queerness, like
right,
it could lead
right.
to a lot of things that they find like devilish or, you know, things, sins.
I think the main thing that I was able to gauge that these women had a problem with the book was they were saying all of the qualities that we believe should be given to Jesus and God, this book is saying that we should take on ourselves. I don't think the book is flat out saying like you could turn water into wine, but it's that kind of stuff, you know, like the power is within you. It's very, I mean, tame stuff.
So then maybe it was a question of like, money still, because then you're giving money to yourself to heal yourself instead of giving money to the church, because the church no longer will heal you.
I think it's all intertwined. I think in this country, enlightenment and money are that's the same conversation.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So what was the sort of coda on the story? Like, was there an ending?
Not really. One of them blocked me. That's sad. Luckily,
so
I have more Instagram accounts.
Of course, but, like a true journalist.
But, you know, I would like to dive into the community a little bit more eventually down the line, because I just think that the prevalence of essential oils in social media / the normal world, it's really, really interesting. And especially when you look at it over what's happened over the past couple of years with COVID. A lot of these thinking that, you know, Western medicine is harmful, or, you know, we're all being poisoned by the things we eat every single day. So, you know, we have to have all these non-toxin things. We have to take essential oils to cure a cold instead of DayQuil. You know, it can have really damaging long-term consequences if you could take it all the way, where, you know, you could take that line of thinking all the way into becoming an anti-vaxxer.
I am so giddy to tell you about my absolute favorite iPhone game of late. It's called June's Journey. If you like mystery games that are really easy to play and very aesthetic to look at, then you have got to check this one out. June's Journey is basically a hidden object mystery game where you're solving this detective story centering on a protagonist named June, who's living in the 1920s, so very glamorous, she has to travel back to her family's island estate to solve the mystery of who murdered her sister. And my favorite part of the game is that as you find these different clues and help solve the crime, you get to decorate the island estate with various pieces of furniture and other accoutrements. It is so relaxing to play when you kind of just need to switch off your brain. And I'm pretty bad at iPhone games and video games in general, and I can still enjoy it. So I really think you'll love it. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Frida Fertility aims to be couples' go-to brand for making trying a little less, well, trying. Their effective and science-backed products aid in conception, whether you've just started or have been at it for several months. Here's the thing, nobody teaches us how to get pregnant. So when it comes time to conceive, a lot of us just don't know what to do, where to go, and whom to trust for help. That's where Frida Fertility comes in. Their science-backed tools aid in conception, whether you've just started your trying journey or have been trying for several months. Developed with fertility specialists, Frida's at-home insemination set comfortably delivers sperm up to the cervix, no doctor needed. And the Frida Fertility Ovulation Test Kit is a reimagined tracking and prediction system designed with the accuracy you need while trying to conceive. Again, Frida Fertility is designed to make trying a little less trying for couples trying to conceive. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, Target, and at select CVS near you.
And then during COVID, that wasn't great. And it's something that I've really seen just spread like wildfire on the internet, to even to the point where people that I know tangentially from back home, you know, I've seen them saying, oh, you know, my child has special needs. And, you know, so I'm giving them this regimen of 6 essential oils a day and all of this stuff. And it's just like, where is this coming from? And I would love to dig into the psyche of what makes someone go down this path. Is it a bad experience with Western medicine?
I'm fascinated too. I think it's a combination of like a few different biases, the cultural tumult, the algorithm.
I mean, doing this podcast and like talking about this so often and learning from Amanda, like I've dismissed a lot of my preconceptions about the kind of people that fall into these cults, because I always thought it was like these people that were like dumb and like they didn't know what they were doing. And that's really just not the case. It's like so unique in every situation. Speaking of those false promises that you were mentioning, like these people who can fall into these like rabbit holes, what do you think are some of the biggest myths that exist about essential oils?
I think the most damaging part of it is it's so subjective, you know? Like, if you read blog posts from people who are in the essential oils community, they'll say, my children kept getting colds and they kept getting stomach viruses and I never knew why. And then I threw out all the toxins in my house and I stopped using Western cold medicine and I started using essential oils and now my children haven't had a cold in 2 years. That's really damaging because it's not really something you can prove or unprove, you know?
It's just anecdotal. And that's what pseudoscience is, right? I mean, for that matter, that's what religious faith is. It's something that you can't prove either way. It's just something you feel.
Yeah. Like, I can see why that would intrigue someone. Even I'm kind of like, huh. So it's a weird, like, amalgamation of mom guilt and, you know, not trusting authority and wanting to be natural and all of this kind of stuff. But I think those are the most damaging things.
Well, I think it's no wonder that those anecdotal stories really resonate with us, because it's personal, it's relatable, and the science, we'll talk about this later, isn't really there. So all they have are these anecdotal stories. Like, I have a former high school classmate who isn't an idiot at all, who is a distributor or whatever they're called for Young Living. She never says Young Living, though. She just calls herself an oily mama, and her community, they're oily. Isn't that gross?
Yes.
She calls herself an oily mama and is always talking about like the various blends that she swears put her kids to sleep. The anecdotal stories really distract people from the fact that there's really no science to support it, or very little anyway. What do you think it is about essential oils that fits so well with this panoply of different fanatical groups?
I think a lot of people, you know, they want to solve things that unfortunately sometimes can't be solved. You know, you can't really stop your kid from getting a bunch of colds at the end of the day. They're either going to get a bunch of colds or they're not. And, you know, another thing that I've seen is people with children with, you know, special needs, learning differences, neurodivergency, you know, they can become really susceptible to things like this because, you know, if you're dealing with a child with autism, for example, and someone comes to you and says, oh, if you just give them all these essential oils, you know, they are going to have an easier life. Like, that can be really tempting on something that's a really challenging thing to solve as a parent. So we don't like trusting authority in America. And
yeah,
I think, like, you know, there's a lot of pressure for moms to take care of their kids and do everything for their kids. And I think it's just like a mix of all of those things.
Definitely. It reminds me a lot the way that you described it, like a lot of the like community that believes in astrology, because it's like you can really like apply it to specific situations and it's like you only see what you want to see, you know? So do you think that there's a legitimate use for essential oils? And what's your advice for our listeners about how to engage with essential oils in a way that's culty, but not too culty?
Like I said, I like a supplement. I have felt like probiotics have helped me. I take a lot of vitamins. I'm all about that. And I think if the thing about essential oils, if you're using them as a supplement in everyday life, like, I don't think they would harm you. And I think there is something nice about, you know, diffusing an essential oil.
It just smells good.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about them.
Is it demonic to smell good?
It's definitely not demonic to smell good.
Maybe if it leads to sex, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're just using them maybe as God intended, let's say, where you're just enjoying them. I think once you start saying to yourself, the doctor is telling me to take this antibiotic, but I'm going to treat it with essential oils instead, I think that's the time where you need to take a step back and be like, is this a good thing?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like dismissing advice from a professional who's like dedicated their whole life to studying medicine. Red flag.
All this stuff is so nuanced because sometimes doctors don't give the best advice. So it's like important to question everyone, but it doesn't have to be 100% faith in one thing versus 100% faith in the other thing. Like, we're allowed to create a sort of bespoke lifestyle for ourselves with, and then I think this is what lends itself to cultishness, is that we're either in the camp of like Western medicine only, never question big pharma, or the camp of like big pharma's destroying you and implanting microchips in you, like essential oils only. It doesn't have to be that way.
It's so hard to be like that. It's so hard to be independent. And I feel like everyone in this world is already so exhausted from like all the information overload that like, that's why we're so culty these days, because people are exhausted and they're like, tell me what to do. I don't want to check my sources. I don't want to ask multiple people. I just want to listen to one person and lie down.
Hear, hear.
I also would kind of blame the internet for that. You know, you get into essential oils, you're like, this is nice, I really like this. And then you go down this rabbit hole, and then the algorithm keeps feeding you all of this stuff about how bad Western medicine is, and all of a sudden you're essential oils fanatic. The algorithm takes it from, oh, this is just something I enjoy, to like, this is my obsession and I can't
totally
ever take
I'm afraid
Tylenol.
I might be falling into that with the mushroom situation that's going on right now because of the ads I'm getting. I'm like, mushroom water? Okay, I'll do it.
Thank you so much for joining us on Sounds Like a Cult. If listeners want to keep up with your work, which like I DM you all the time, you always care about the exact zeitgeisty niches that I'm interested in. Like, whatever reality TV show is like randomly my obsession of the moment, you are covering it on BuzzFeed. So if someone wants to keep up with your work, where can they do that?
The easiest way is to follow me on Instagram. I'm at Steph E. McNeil.
Next, we're going to talk about the background of the essential oils industry, the science or lack thereof.
So ever since the dawn of essential oils use in the West, there have been larger-than-life claims made about them. So essential oils were not invented in Europe or in the United States. Steam distillation is an old art that probably originated in Persia and the Middle East and spread here from there. But the term essential oils has been used in the West since around the 1750s, and it's
always been wildly misunderstood.
Yeah, I feel like whenever anyone extracts anything from like a natural substance, because that's what it is, it's essentially like extracting an oil from a flower or something like that, people think that it has like additional powers. And at times, like, you know, we make medicine from plants and flowers. So like there is that version of extraction that is healing. But essential oils just like, they kind of just smell good.
Well, there is this glorification of plant medicine because it's ancient.
Where that gets problematic is when sort of new age curious Westerners who have no education in plant medicine in the way that many indigenous and Eastern people do sort of exalt these essential oils as this magical cure-all because they're natural and quote unquote chemical free.
But what essential oils fundamentally are volatile chemicals. Like everything on the planet is a chemical.
We're all made up of chemicals. Have you heard the song about the atoms? Like we're all atoms, you know?
We're all atoms and molecules.
I thought you were going to say that the only effective part of essential oils was the placebo effect.
Well, that is most of it.
Yeah.
The other effective parts, if they exist, are still being confirmed. You know, the term essential is really misleading because people hear essential and they think it's indispensable.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah.
But really what essential in essential oils means is these products are just the distilled essence from a plant or tree.
Yeah, it comes from the word essence. I think that's a classic little word conundrum.
It is a semantic ambiguity.
Semantic
ambiguity.
Okay, learn something new every day.
The term has been used in the West since the 1750s. And ever since then, sellers have made false claims about what it can do. In the 1500s, for example, when diseases were thought to have been caused by bad air, essential oils were viewed and used as preventions and cures. And it wasn't until the first big essential oils company was founded in New York City in the 1870s that the idea of even empirically looking into essential oils was put forth,
yeah,
which actually wasn't done until the 1920s.
Yeah, it sounds like essential oils kind of like come back into the zeitgeist whenever like something is threatening society, because what ended up happening this past 2 years was that they really had an uptick during COVID. A lot of essential oil companies started to claim that they could literally cure COVID, that they could prevent COVID, that things that the FDA literally had to like send letters out to be like, you legally are not allowed to claim that your oils can cure this.
Absolutely. So many MLM salespeople for essential oils companies were claiming that COVID was a wonderful opportunity to make money, to take your health into your own hands. doTERRA sellers were posting online that the main benefits of essential oils are specifically to support immune systems, natural defenses, provides antioxidant benefits, energizes and uplifts with its aroma, and all of this will help protect you from the COVID pandemic.
The crazy thing is the FDA was sending them these letters, but they were still saying it.
Oh,
it didn't stop them.
Absolutely. Essential oil brands, MLM and otherwise, do what so many cultish groups do, which is they prey on people's vulnerabilities and they prey on people's hope. So, for example, there are companies that claim that using essential oils is better than chemotherapy. And that's attractive to people because chemotherapy really is toxic and scary.
Yeah. And a lot of people, especially in America, don't have good experiences with the healthcare system.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even have healthcare, or they have experienced situations where you go to the doctor and they tell you, oh, nothing is wrong. And then you still are feeling symptoms.
1000%, especially marginalized people, women, people of color. Like, medical science has not treated these people with equality. And so it really is the sort of situation that would inspire you to look to alternative sources of wellness.
Yeah. And those people are not only already in a vulnerable place because they don't trust the institutions that are supposed to help them, but they're also probably looking for a solution to a problem. So they're maybe on a time crunch.
When a company is telling you this product is going to help not only with your physical health, but with your anxiety, with your happiness, with your stress. That is such an attractive message.
Yeah. And we talked about it with Stephanie, but I think where that gets dangerous is where if you actually have like a medical illness that you like need treatment for.
Or if we're in a worldwide pandemic where people are dying.
Yeah, where people are dying and where like you getting an illness can give someone else an illness. Like, you ignoring the doctor's orders and instead turning to essential oils, that is going to have a negative repercussion on your health and on other people's health.
So, I mean, there is ongoing science about the efficacy of essential oils, but science is slow and science is hard and people don't want to wait. So while it's true that in Germany, for example, lavender oil is used in capsule form to combat anxiety with support in clinical trials, and in the US, tea tree oil is legitimately found to treat the eye condition blepharitis, people are like too impatient. They're like, no, I want it to cure all these other things.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait.
And that's where the anecdotal evidence comes in. Exactly. That's where you see people being like, oh, like I gave this to my kid and it fixed him, so it's going to fix you. And that's where I think like a lot of it is placebo effect, and everyone is like so different. And that applies to real medicine too. That applies to like medicine prescribed by a doctor. It's like they prescribe people Lexapro for anxiety and then they prescribe people Lexapro for depression, and it's supposed to cure both. And I think that's insane. But that's why you have a psychiatrist that you go back to assess, how did this medicine affect me?
Mm-hmm.
How can I readjust my prescription? But with essential oils, it's all under like the blanket term. It's just going to fix you. And you don't have a professional to discuss the symptoms with.
Well, what's interesting is that doctors do often still recommend essential oils like peppermint oil for digestion and lavender oil for anxiety, because even if the benefits are mostly placebo, which right now, you know, the science is still inconclusive, it is low side effect and yeah, it is low cost. So you're not gonna like get fucked by using essential oils. But at the same time, like if it doesn't work for you, you need to pursue like actual like medicine.
Yeah,
it makes so much sense that essential oils have found their way into all these different groups that mistrust the healthcare system and more. Like, I was on the way here, we were talking about the book Educated, the memoir that was like a bestseller a few years ago. This is like an extreme group that you don't think of as being essential oil users, but they were. It was the story of this woman who grew up the daughter of Mormon doomsday preppers who like didn't believe in the government, didn't believe in the healthcare system. They'd never used antibiotics or been to the doctor or even had birth certificates. And whenever one of the kids got seriously injured or had an infection, the mother would just prepare an essential oil tincture and be like, put this down your throat and stand outside toward the sun.
That's so funny that like when you explained that story to me, I was like, oh, that's crazy. But then I was also thinking like my parents never gave me like tinctures of essential oils. But I feel like it's like a very immigrant mentality thing to do too.
For sure.
Is to be like, oh no, like drink this tea. Or like my mom was like, Americans go to the doctor for everything. Like we don't need to be going to the doctor for everything. And I was like, now I'm like, mom, do we have like a history of cancer in the family?
Well,
and she's like, yeah. I feel like you should have told me this.
Well, the thing that makes essential oils so insidious is that it's based on these half truths, you know? It's like, yeah, Americans probably are hypochondriacs.
Yeah.
We probably are too paranoid. We probably aren't looking to alternative sources to help our physical and mental health enough. But if you take it too far into an extreme.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we should talk about that extreme example of a man who has a chokehold on the essential oils industry. Mm-hmm. And this man is Gary Young. Gary Young, if you couldn't tell by his name, is the founder of Young Living, the same company that Stephanie wrote about in her article, which we've mentioned is one of the biggest essential oil companies that also happens to be an MLM.
It sure does. It was founded in Utah. Gary Young is a Mormon. Utah, if you've listened to our MLM episode, is the low-key direct sales capital of the world.
Yeah.
Because the MLM message and the Mormon message of this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity coming from your cousin or your next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
Those two messages go hand in hand.
The crazy thing about Gary Young is his story started when he claimed to be paralyzed from an accident. And the doctor said he was never supposed to walk again. Oh, these stories always relate to like Jesus is like,
I know.
It's dead like, for 3 days and came back to life.
Totally. Or like the pastor helped restore this person's vision.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are these like miracle stories that
exactly.
We're so attracted to.
Yeah. And he came up. He told everyone that this story was true and it happened to him. And then he found essential oils and they cured him. And all of a sudden he could walk again. But he didn't immediately found Young Living. He founded a couple other companies.
Serial entrepreneur, classic. Just like the yep. Keith Raniere of essential oils.
Exactly. It's like they fail and fail until they succeed. And how are they even allowed to continue is my question.
A company like Young Living?
No, a man like Gary Young, because his first company.
Privilege.
Yeah, he lacked training. He claimed to graduate from the Institute of Physiogenerology, which isn't real. It was a false claim. He was arrested for practicing medicine without a license. He pled guilty. He served a year of probation. But after that is when he moved to California and started
Young Living.
Yeah.
I'm unsurprised. I mean, my impression of Young Living is just this girl that I went to high school with who was like the one sort of conventionally pretty popular girl in my arts high school, who of course went on to, you know, marry someone in the military and become a teacher, live this very like middle America nuclear life. And then after she had her first baby, she stopped teaching and became a Young Living salesperson. Mm. But I can't look away from her Instagram account. I mean, she makes these reels of her like using essential oils in all of these different ways. And you know how that MLM filter that they all use that makes it look kind of like vintagey and chuggy and Pinteresty?
Yeah, and the songs that they choose, like it's kind of like not elevator music, but it relaxes you like elevator music. So it's when you're
For me, it gives me like Mumford and Sons vibes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like after you've had a lot, you know, like when you were a kid and you would like wait at the dentist and you like, they just played that like mundane music and
Muzak.
Yeah. And you would just like want to take a little nap in the waiting room. That's like the vibe I get when I watch those people's Instagrams. Cause I'm like, after a long day, I'm like just like so tired. And I just like look at their
It is.
Shit
it's like
Instagram.
Hipster boho Muzak with like stomping and clapping. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't believe that. I'm just saying on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the vibe. It's exactly. And her like little baby is in the shot and she's like rolling peppermint oil on the baby's arms being like, my baby had like yucky diapers and
and
now
I'm like, I'm your baby now. No, I'm just kidding.
Totally. So she just like wants to make all of her followers feel like they're her mommy.
Yeah.
And if you use essential oils the way I do, then you'll be a perfect mommy and also my perfect baby.
Yeah. But it's so weird to me how this whole company, which is this like essentially like mommy vibe company, like be my baby company,
is helmed by a fucking dude.
Of course.
They all are.
And even though this man was like arrested for fraud and false licensing before he even founded the company, and since the company has been founded, FDA has given them a bunch of letters and warnings about not saying that they can cure things, the company is still going strong.
100%. Because the direct sales industry has all this protection from the government that we talked about in our MLM episode. But it's so true. It's like, COVID has really brought conversations about the controversy surrounding MLMs to the forefront, but Young Living has been making claims for years about Ebola, cancer, Parkinson's disease, MS, even though there's no scientific evidence stating that it can cure any of these things.
Like Ebola, like they really went after Ebola. Like
dude.
Ebola didn't even get to America.
Like, seriously.
Why did they have to like throw that in there?
Keep it on domestic shores.
Yeah.
But it's just wild because this guy is sort of a microcosm of the Venn diagram that we were talking about earlier, where he has made bullshit claims about everything from religious miracles to the healthcare system to how you can become rich, and yet he's able to thrive.
Yeah, and he's like free.
In the way that Elizabeth Holmes was the first female Silicon Valley CEO that we wanted to see, we want to see people like Gary Young in power.
You
want to
see? I do not.
I mean, I'm saying the royal we. No, yeah, not even. I'm saying like the collective we. Like,
yeah.
People who are struggling.
It goes back to that idea of people who like are just so exhausted by like the choices that we have to make day to day. And so they want someone to tell them what to do.
They do. And they
and
want
like,
these promises to be true.
Just get kinky in bed. Like,
literally.
Get someone to tell you what to do in bed and then figure out the rest of your stuff. So as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, essential oils have different levels of cultiness.
Definitely.
But what do you think in our categories it falls under? Live your life? Watch your back?
or get the fuck out.
So obviously, if you're doing your thing independently using essential oils because you think they smell good, they're a live your life. I think we use them in a live your life way.
Yeah.
But because there are so many fanatical fringe groups in our culture who are weaponizing essential oils, I think they have to be a watcher back. And then certainly there are cults within the larger cult, like Young Living, that are a get the fuck out. So it's kind of all three.
Yeah. I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, on the surface level, if you just like look at essential oils, like, yeah, you bought one at the grocery store, like a little oil stick, live your life. But unfortunately, because these groups like Young Living exist, it kind of like, because of those groups, they are a watch your back.
Totally. Because when you log on to Pinterest or Instagram or even Google, when you're looking up what these essential oils do, it's hard to tell if that information is substantiated. It's hard to tell where it's coming from because it could very well be Young Living propaganda.
Yeah. And all of these companies are affecting that propaganda because they have such good branding. And some of them, even though they don't have FDA approval, they create like this, like these stamps or these brands that kind of look like it's FDA approved.
They do. And they use these buzzwords and loopholes, like has been shown to, instead of making promises. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
So, but I mean, some of them boldface lie.
Yeah.
But at least the big guys who've been pursued in the way that Young Living and doTERRA have will sort of like skirt around it by making these promises in creative ways.
So ultimately, Young Living is clearly a get the fuck out.
Oh my God.
Because it's an MLM and it's just not a good thing. But
and there's a direct essential oils MLM to anti-vax to QAnon pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. And so if you're in Young Living, please get the fuck out. But if you're just using essential oils, just keep an eye on it. Don't think it's going to fix like everything.
But get them the fuck away from your cats.
Yeah, because they are not good for them.
They're not good. Well, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
We'll be back with a new cult next week.
But in the meantime,
stay culty,
but not too culty.
Sounds Like a Cult is created, hosted, and produced by Amanda Montell and Issa Medina. Kate Elizabeth is our editor.
Our podcast studio is All Things Comedy, and our theme music is by Casey Kolb. Thank you to our intern / production assistant, Noemi Griffin. Subscribe to Sounds Like a Cult wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
And if you like our show, feel free to give us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/soundslikeacult. Come and join me for the cultiest event of the season. Oh, hey, it Sounds Like a Cult host Amanda here to invite you this April to New York, Boston, and Philly, where I'm putting on a culty variety show that you are not going to want to miss. This show, cult gathering extravaganza, features guest appearances from the cult-followed podcasters behind Normal Gossip, Petty Crimes, Love Letters, and Strange Customs, plus drag burlesque performances, a musical guest, exclusive merch, a meet and greet, and more. And this just in, for the New York event, use the code CULTMAGIC, no spaces, at checkout for 10% off your ticket. A copy of my new book is also included in the price. It's going to be a hootenanny. Recruit your friends. Ticket links can be found at the link in our Instagram bio at Sounds Like a Cult Pod or on our website, soundslikeacult.com.